You are tuned in to Hogbeat Radio, and we have a loaded episode for you today talking about the big matchup between Arkansas and number 16 Oklahoma State this weekend at Boone Pickens Stadium in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I'm Mason Choate, the publisher of Hogbeat.com. I got Riley McFerrin, managing editor of Hogbeat.com. We will both be in Stillwater this weekend. Very excited, Riley. We got some like mind-blowing numbers about Oklahoma State that shook both of us. Then we have some numbers that like make you feel a little bit better. We're going to talk about the Cowboys. We got to talk about the UAPB game a little bit for Arkansas. So we got a lot to get to. Even some fall baseball stuff. I know people are a little bit hungry for the Diamond Hogs, so we'll talk that a little bit at the end of the episode. So thank you for being with us. And if you like what you hear, please visit hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. We are the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. We do a great job. Daily coverage, up-to-the-minute coverage, breaking news, in-depth breakdowns. We got a lot of preview stuff for Arkansas, Oklahoma State. I'm going to be out of the baseball scrimmage tomorrow covering that. And a lot of that stuff you only get if you have a subscription. So I highly encourage you to sign up. It's less than $10 a month, less than $100 a year for you. And if you like the Razorbacks, you're not going to find better coverage. And if you're on our website, if you're on our message board, you can literally talk to us whenever and ask us whatever you want, and we will answer it, even if it's stupid. So thank you to everybody who does subscribe. Thank you to everybody who listens. And we just really appreciate all the support. So, Riley, big weekend, all off season. This has been the game that everybody circled as like the game of the season for Arkansas. This is the most important game of the season. Do we still feel that way?
100%. I mean, you know, just like you said, this entire offseason, I mean, you're coming off of a 4-8 year. You hire Bobby Petrino. You get all the positive momentum in the offseason, all the Kool-Aid coming out of the coaching staff and the players. Fall camp seems to go well. Everything's looking good. You absolutely dismantle UAPB week one, 70-0. But it doesn't matter. None of that matters if you lose this game. At least if you lose it and you don't look good losing it. Okay. You need to come in this game, look competitive, and you need to be able to carry that momentum. And even if you lose, right? Even if you lose, you need to be able to stay competitive throughout the year. I mean, last year, how many times did Arkansas lose a one possession game on the road? It was multiple times. They did not have a good record in those kind of games. So you need to be able to come in here. If it's a one score type game, you need to be able to flip that the other way, right? Sam Pittman, what did we say all offseason? He probably needs to get to that 6-win mark to feel good about coming back. If you lose this game, well, assuming you win all other non-conference games, then you have to win one extra SEC matchup. And that's a lot harder to do than just winning two. So you really need to get this win to feel good about the rest of the year. Everything's led into this moment. It's a big week for Razorbacks.
Yep. And if you look on the other side, Oklahoma State, 10-4 last year, made it to the Big 12 championship game, beat A&M in the Texas Bowl. But, you know, you look at their schedule, Riley, and they had, I believe, 6-1 possession games as well. If you count an 8-point game being one possession, assuming you get a 2-point conversion or whatever. But it was an up and down year for them. You know, they had some losses, like they lost on the road to UCF by like 40. It was kind of a weird year for them, but they returned what, 19 starters. They're super experienced. We know about Mike Gundy. We're going to get into just like how experienced they are, how good they've been at home. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But before we do, let's get into some of this UAPB game for Arkansas. You mentioned it, 70-0. I think really the biggest question for everybody was like, will Arkansas cover whatever the spread was? I think it probably closed somewhere in the 50-51 range.
It's around 50, and, yeah.
Yeah, so like I didn't really know, because it was like, what are they going to do? Are they going to run up the score? And I wouldn't even say they ran the score up. They literally just scored on every single drive. It's not like they were being super aggressive. They just went 10-for-10. And, you know, I think Sam Pittman was asked about it. He kind of basically was like, you know, we needed to see what we had in some guys. And that makes sense. That's the type of game you do that in. So what'd you like, Riley? You know, we were going to do a story of the good, the bad, the ugly. And then we were sitting in the press box and we're just like, I mean, What I mean, there's not a ton of ugly. There's a little bit of bad and a lot of good. So what'd you see?
Yeah, so I mean, it's hard to take away a lot of bad from that game. It's really just a lot of good. I mean, first off, Talen Green, right? He was a big question mark coming into this year. You kind of thought, you know, with learning under Bobby Petrino an entire offseason, you think he could get some of those accuracy issues that people kind of, you know, thought he had worked out. And yeah, it's against UAPB, which is probably one of the worst FCS teams in the country. It definitely is one of the worst FCS teams in the country. He still looked amazing. I mean, about all you can ask for. I mean, the dude, how many total yards did he have? I mean, I know he had 4 total touchdowns, 2 rushing.
Here, we got it right here on the screen. 229 pass yards, 88 rush yards. You're the math guy. Tell me what that equals.
What was it? 229 and 88?
Yep.
My math days are a little bit behind me now. I'm not going to attempt to do that.
Hold on, no, I got it. Here we go. You just make the 88 90. So now you got your 219 and then subtract 390. So 317 total yards for Talen Green.
There you go. I don't know if I can multitask with math at the same time. But, you know, Talen Green, I mean, he looked good. He made the passes he needed to, right? He made the passes he needed to. He ran the ball all around the field. I mean, he looks like, you know, we never want to compare a guy to Lamar Jackson because Lamar Jackson was amazing, and we're not going to do that on this radio show, not podcast. But Talen Green looked really dang good. Besides him, the offensive line, last year in against Western Carolina, the run game did not look very good, right? You kind of knew from the get-go that the run game was going to struggle or at least have some issues. This year, totally different. They dominated, I think, to Keyshawn Blackstock on one run. I can't remember which run it was, but it was a deep run. And
it was the 46-yard touchdown by Jaquinnon Jackson.
There you go. Yeah. He was running upfield with a mean streak. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you need to see out of your tackles who, you know, Sam Pittman has applauded all offseason. So, you know, as a whole, there's a lot of good. I'm going to kind of stick with the Talen Green, the offensive line. I'm curious to hear what you took away from that game.
Obviously Talen Green is what everybody wanted to see. You know, the first drive was a little like, you remember those first two plays?
Hey, man, I mean, we watched those first two plays, that deep ball that was a little underthrown in that fumble, and you were kind of, you know, things were getting a little sketchy.
Yeah. But, you know, I liked what I saw from Talen. You know, everybody's talked about it. He had a few throws that maybe are intercepted if you're playing a better opponent. But you were not, and they weren't intercepted in that game. And so you can't predict what would happen in another game because it hasn't happened. So you look at the Pro Football Focus grades, Talen Green's the highest graded player on the offense. He had an 88.9 pass grade. Aside from, like, those few throws you think of, like, I think some of them were slants. You know, you mentioned the first throw. It was really just the first drive for Talen where he had some stuff that was off the mark. And then after that, we were just super impressed by what we saw from him. So maybe it was just, you know, first game jitters. I have to mention, though, Riley, I have heard so much stuff about Malachi Singleton. And we have to talk about this because it's not just, you know, Twitter and message board. It's like, you know, I leave the game and I go home and my dad's like, I was most impressed with Malachi Singleton. And, okay, he looked good against UAPB. And it was basically what we've seen from Malachi Singleton in practice for the most part. A quarterback who is very athletic. He's accurate. You know, he makes the throws that he needs to make. But I feel like he's kind of conservative. He doesn't maybe take as many chances as you would like. And so that's just what I've seen from him in practice. Now, in the game against UAPB, yes, he looked really good. But I'm seeing people saying that, like, Malachi Singleton's going to be the starting quarterback by the end of the year. And that's not, you know, going to happen, in my opinion. Something crazy would have to happen for Talen Green to lose his job, not injury-related. So, I mean, from the moment that Talen Green has stepped on campus, he's been the starter. We were told that there was going to be a QB battle in the spring. There was no QB battle in the spring. Talen Green was the only quarterback all spring long to take first-team reps. And then in the fall, same thing. So, like, there has never been a true quarterback battle, at least based off of what we have seen at the practices. So that's why I just say that to be like, I know that Talen had some throws that were off the mark. And I know that Malachi Singleton looked really good. But there is no quarterback battle here, folks. It is Talen Green's job. I mean, that's just what it is. So I like that. You know, I thought that the defensive line looked as dominant as I wanted them to. I thought Xavier Ansori at linebacker was faster than I think he is. And
very fast. That jumped off the screen too.
Yep. So like, and Amarion Harris, he started at left guard, but I thought he looked good at left tackle. One thing that I want to point out that maybe not a lot of people noticed, and this is like some, you got to like really follow Arkansas football if you care about this. But the second team center, what is that noise, Riley? Is that a mower? My goodness. I'm just kidding. The second team center, Josh Street. So that was a little bit interesting because we thought it would be Amari Wiggins. Amari Wiggins was playing left guard. It was Josh Street who, I mean, let's be honest, Josh Street has struggled to snap the ball in practice. And so that was a little odd to see. Street has played guard, tackle, and center, you know, since fall camp started. So that's, he's just a do-it-all guy. And the third team center that we have been seeing is Tim Dawn, the walk-on transfer from Baylor. But it was Joe Moore who played at third team center. And I don't think we saw him play any center all fall camp. And he was the third team center, the transfer from Syracuse, who has been the second team right tackle. I wanted to ask Sam Pittman about that on the SEC teleconference, but I was recording the audio. I couldn't. But I do eventually want to ask him about that because I thought that was interesting. But again, that you have to follow Arkansas football closely to even care about that. But that's all I got, man, for the most part. I mean, we could talk more about it, but the game was Thursday. And right now we're recording this on Thursday. It's been a week. We got to talk Oklahoma State.
Yeah, you kind of covered everything there. I don't really have many more takeaways other than that. By the way, shout out to the lawnmower that passed by my window and did a little drive-by. Was not expecting that. Pretty unfortunate timing there. Just to kind of go back, I wanted to say this really quickly about Malachi Singleton. Yeah, he did well. I mean, he did well in his playing time. I'm not going to, you know, show any disrespect to him. He finished 8 of 10 with 120 yards, right? But his QBR, according to ESPN, and, you know, take this however you want to, it was a 30.9, right? It's not exactly – he didn't light anything up, right? He just came in, did his job, was very technically sound, which I think under Petrino is exactly what you want. You kind of saw maybe what he could do. But, you know, just going back to what you said, Talen Green, right when he stepped on campus, was the guy. He's going to be the guy. I mean, barring an injury, he is – you need Talen Green to be the dude going forward or else this will be a rough season.
All right, let's keep it moving here because we got to talk a lot about Oklahoma State. There's a lot to get to with this big matchup, 11 a.m. on ABC Saturday. I'm so excited, dude. I've been to Stillwater before for the 2022 Stillwater Regional. It was a lot of fun. It's like a nice, quaint little college town. You know, it's smaller than Fayetteville, and everything's flat. And so I like that. It's weird to be on a college campus where everything is flat. Obviously, I went to the University of Arkansas, so I'm used to walking up an insane hill every day. I'm excited to see Boone Pickens Stadium. What do they call it? Like the tightest sideline in college football?
That's what they say.
So let's talk about these Cowboys of Oklahoma State, the Pokes. You know, they beat South Dakota State, reigning FCS champions, 44-20 in week one. Went back, watched the film as the football expert that I am. I'm not. I watch film and I got my little Roku remote and I just go back 10 seconds and I'm just like watching every player on the offensive line. And this is an offensive line for Oklahoma State that if you look up and down it, like if you just look from left to right, you got Dalton Cooper, redshirt senior, Cole Birmingham, super senior, Joe Michalski, redshirt senior, Preston Wilson, super senior, Jake Springfield, super senior. Like this offensive line, what was the stat? There's a stat. Here we go. Oklahoma State's offensive line had 215 combined starts entering 2024, which is the most of any team in the country. That's one of the mind-blowing stats that I mentioned in the opening. So that's interesting, but then you watch the film, and it's kind of like, I don't know. Like South Dakota State's offensive line or defensive line was at least giving them some trouble in pass pro. We do know that they can run block for sure. Ollie Gordon almost ran for 2,000 yards last year. They can run block. But if you just look at the South Dakota State defensive line, I had a screenshot of it here. Here we go. You know, you look at their DNs, you're talking 6'3", 245, 6'4", 245. Nose tackle is 6'6", 285. D tackle is 6'2", 285. Like, Arkansas is outweighing those guys by, like, at least 40 pounds per, right? So, right. you the size is different. You're talking about a guy in Landon Jackson coming off the edge who's going to maybe be one of the best edge rushers they'll see all year. So I do think that that's something that you can exploit, is that offensive line despite the experience. But if I look at this Oklahoma State team, man, you know, I kind of feel like you can get to the secondary a little bit, but I've listened to podcasts. I've read about them. I've just tried to figure out this team, and they went 10-4 a year ago and went to the Big 12 championship, had, you know, probably the best running back in the country, returned 19 starters. So, like, how much better can you really be if you're returning everything that you had a year ago? And it's the same pieces, right? You can say that they've improved, and sure, they probably have. But, I mean, Arkansas, you know, added a ton of pieces. They returned some guys, especially offensively at receiver. Defensively, like, the whole defensive line is back. I'm just super excited, man. This is a lot. What else do you got here? Because I want to get to some more of these Oklahoma State stats.
Yeah, just to kind of – you kind of talked about the offensive line. I thought it was interesting that when you look at – and we'll kind of get into the PFF grades more a little bit later. Three of Oklahoma State's starting offensive linemen actually finished with a PFF grade below 70. So, you know, that's a really experienced offensive line against an FCS team. And, I mean, they didn't outright dominate. I mean, it took Ollie Gordon, I believe, 28 carries to get over 100 yards, right? I did actually ask – O-State Illustrated's publisher Jeff Johnson about this, because I was curious. They only averaged 3.8 yards per attempt against SDSU, and he said that the offensive line has actually been a yearly concern for Oklahoma State for a few years now. But, you know, kind of like we talked about, the experience has been, you know, a key role. You can never have too much experience, especially on the offensive line, especially when all five of those guys have been playing with each other for so long. But another interesting thing, or at least I thought it was interesting, noteworthy, when you look at the star comparison between Arkansas's offensive line and Oklahoma State's offensive line coming out of high school, not a single one of those starters is a four-star. As a matter of fact, their right tackle, Jake Springfield, was unrated coming out of high school. We have three three-stars and one two-star. Arkansas, on the other hand, has four four-stars, one two-star, that being Fernando Carmona Jr., one of the best transfers from San Jose State. Right, no, San Jose State. So yeah. You just look. I'm gonna mute up now.
Oh my goodness, there goes the mower again. All right, folks, I'm gonna take over here. He's talking about the stars. You look at this Oklahoma State team, man. It is. I was kind of surprised to see, just from a star rating perspective, which at this point in all of these guys' careers, for the most part, it does not matter. But I was surprised to see just like the overall talent advantage Arkansas has on paper. I didn't really think about that coming into it.
That was the point I was about to get to, yeah. Was that if you look on paper, yeah, everything coming into this game, it looks like Oklahoma State's the better team. They have, you know, they're playing at home in a really tough environment. But if you look at it on paper, Arkansas might actually be the more talented team based off of their high school ratings. So in my opinion, this isn't as big of a mismatch as, you know, a lot of people might tell you it is. And so it's an SEC team, right? They bring physicality, toughness. That's all Sam Pittman has talked about. This isn't going to be a game about schematics. It's going to be about which team's tougher. So I'm expecting a close one. You know, that offensive line, defensive line mismatch, we'll see. I mean, Landon Jackson, those guys, Eric Gregory, Campbell, they're all a lot bigger than, like, just like you said, SDSU's defensive line. I think they're going to give a much tougher test, and I'm pretty interested in seeing if those yearly offensive line struggles kind of rear their ugly head in this game.
Yeah. You know, I talked about some of those one score games for Oklahoma State last year, and it's been well documented the one score games that Arkansas had last year, but if you flip the outcome of both of these teams' one score games last year, I mean, we're probably going into this game saying Arkansas is like a 7-point favorite, but we're going into it saying Oklahoma State's a 7.5-point favorite. Obviously the home field advantage gives you a little bit. You got a Heisman candidate in the backfield who's probably the best running back in the country, so that helps. But, you know, a lot has been said about Alan Bowman, the quarterback, the seventh-year senior. He's been around the block. But you look back at his numbers last year, Riley, 15 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. And you know, hit, that's his big thing. And this Arkansas secondary, you want to talk about one thing that you could say is bad in the game against UAPB. There were some guys running open. in the UAPB receiver room. You had the one play that the quarterback stepped out of bounds. Jaden Johnson tries to go for the pick, ends up being a touchdown. Like, you know, Jaden Johnson's probably not being that aggressive against Oklahoma State. Let's just be real. But also, it was a little concerning to see some guys, you know, running around. The tackling was bad. I think Arkansas had like a 44.3 tackling grade. You can't have that when you're playing against Ollie Gordon, who just sheds tacklers like they're nothing. So that is a concern. But if you are the Arkansas secondary, you're looking on the other side and you're like, okay, well, this Alan Bowman guy also threw a ton of interceptions last year. You know, if you're a quarterback who throws a lot of interceptions in your seventh year of college, like, how much more is he going to change this year, right? He didn't throw a pick against SDSU, I don't think, but he is lucky, though, because they have some good wide receivers, Riley. They return some good guys, and then they also got a transfer from Washington State, right?
Yeah, correct. The Washington State transfer that you mentioned, I'm going to attempt to say his first name. I think it's Dejon Stribling. He's one of their best receivers. He might even be their best just in terms of a pure talent standpoint. But then they have two other guys, Brennan Presley, who I believe is an Oklahoma native, was a three-star coming out of high school, but is older now, experienced, has been in that program. And then you have Rashad Owens. That 1-2-3 wide receiver room, pretty dang good for Oklahoma State. And then Alan Bowman, you kind of talked about him. Yeah, you look at it last year, threw a lot of picks. That's, you know, as an Arkansas secondary, you're looking at that and feeling pretty good. But according to Jeff Johnson, he's progressed from the end of last season. As a matter of fact, one of his big issues last year was not being able to hang in the pocket, and he did a really good job of that against SDSU. Again, competition plays a factor. Will that matter against Landon Jackson and Nico Davia, Anton Junkish when they're rushing at you? I don't know. But you just look at it as an Arkansas secondary, a secondary that's, you know, it's had some question marks coming into this year, right? You know what you got out of Jalen Braxton, Marquise Robinson, who, by the way, played for the South Alabama team that beat Oklahoma State last year.
Yeah. Had a pick in that game.
How are they going to play against a tougher Oklahoma State wide receiver room? But you look at it, Alan Bowman again with the interceptions, you're feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah. Let's get to the Oklahoma State defense real quick before we get into some more stuff like Arkansas's depth chart, some injury report stuff. We still got a lot to talk about here on Hogbeat Radio. But this Oklahoma State defense on paper is pretty good, Riley. You know, at linebacker, they might have the best linebacker room in the Big 12. They probably have the best front seven in the Big 12. But the secondary is something that I think can be exploited if you're Arkansas. And it's a good thing you got a guy named Bobby Petrino calling the plays because that's going to help. I think that you can get to the secondary. But I look at the linebacker room, Nick Martin, number four. I mean, like, that dude was running across the field like Sorry was for Arkansas.
Yeah, he's devastating, a devastating linebacker. And that linebacker room as a whole is really good. Might be one of the best. I mean, you know, obviously the SEC is loaded with them, but that might be one of the best they face all year. You have Nick Martin. You have Colin Oliver, who, again, he's a linebacker, but he'll rush the passer too. He kind of is like Brad Spence in that way. And then Kendall Daniels, another really good linebacker. Another player on that defense that Arkansas fans might remember is Colin Clay, their nose tackle. He actually played at Arkansas during his freshman year under, I believe it was Chad Morris at that point. And he transferred.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Sure.
I have a Colin Clay story. So I was a freshman when Colin Clay was a freshman as well. And I mean, you know, this was before I really got into like sports media. And I just remember being at the dining hall and seeing him, and I mean, what is he listed at now? He was significantly smaller then, but he's 6'4", 330. He was a DN when he was at Arkansas. And I would eat with him a couple times in the cafeteria, and I know that he does not remember me. But what I have to say is, like, you know, if you're a football player, you don't have to sit down in the cafeteria with all the other people and have a conversation with somebody. And he would sit down and talk to me. He talked to me about, like, his high school ball. I was just asking him questions about football. And so I think that he was a really genuine guy. And Eric Gregory, who played with him here at Arkansas, also had a lot of good things to say about him. Sounds like he just got married recently. So really happy for Colin Clay, man. Good for him. He's a good guy.
Yeah, good guy, good football player too. And, you know, that's going to be one of their better, I think he should be a starting nose tackle for them. I haven't looked too deep into their depth chart. And so that, you know, that'll be a player to watch. As far as their secondary, you said they struggled. I think I want to say they gave up let me look here. I know they gave up over 250 passing yards to SDSU. But I think, yeah, 264 passing yards to SDSU. I kind of saw that and was wondering, maybe that can be a unit that Arkansas's wide receivers, especially, you know, we'll talk about if Andrew Armstrong returns, we'll see. Maybe they can exploit. But apparently a lot of those yards actually came on one drive. And one play in particular, they had a 60-yard. I'm going to meet up again.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, so I kind of read what he said, and I know you're going to get to here in a second. So a couple of busted coverages, which you could say the same thing about the Arkansas secondary against UAPB. So go into it a little bit more here, Riley, after you sip on that water.
Yeah, so they gave up one 60-yard passing touchdown, and a three-play drive accounted for more than 135 yards of that total. So you look at that line, and it's not maybe quite as indicative of that secondary as a whole as you would initially think. But I mean, still, like, if you give up a 60-yard passing touchdown, you gave up a 60-yard passing touchdown. That tells me that your secondary is prone to giving up big, long touchdowns. Well, what does Bobby Petrino do well? He goes deep. I mean, we saw what they did on that first play against UAPB, right? You have Tyrone Broden, Isaiah Satania, Andrew Armstrong, hopefully, you know, those guys are really fast. They can take the top off of the defense. So I think as a wide receiver unit, you're looking at that and you're feeling pretty good coming into this game.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have some – you mentioned some of those guys there, but you got the guys with the speed, Isaiah Satania. Are we finally going to see Isaiah Satania really take over a game? I just don't know. But I mean, he had one of the best throws in this last game. Do what?
I was going to say he had some moments in this last game that were taken away from him.
Well, I was going to say also, though, he did have one catch that – so everybody, you think about probably the best throw Taylen Green had against UAPB. It was the touchdown pass to Ty Washington on the run, kind of throws it crossbody, perfect, right into the breadbasket in the corner. But probably the second best throw Green made the whole game, it was like the 13-minute mark in the second quarter-ish. And he just throws it all the way across the field. Big completion to Isaiah Satania in the flats. He's wide open. I think that play could be dangerous for Arkansas moving forward because a guy like Isaiah Satania, even Jordan Anthony, like those guys are going to get open over there in the flats. And if you have a quarterback with the arm strength, because, I mean, he probably threw that ball 30, 40 yards across the field, and it was just a laser. So I thought that was also impressive. So I want to see Isaiah Satania. Jordan Anthony, we haven't really talked about him. He played way more than we thought he was going to and did better than we thought he was going to. You know, C.J. Brown's another guy who can burn you deep. Tyrone Broden, too. So, like, I'm interested to see what happens, man. Let's talk real quick. So, Oklahoma State, first-year kicker Logan Ward, 3-for-3 on field goal attempts against South Dakota State. It's not his first year, but it's his first year to start for them. So, that's one thing to keep in mind. Riley, I would love for you to tell us about their punter and just like try to pronounce his name for us.
But I don't have the punter's name pulled up. I'm going to be completely honest. Okay. I'm not going to lie. I was not expecting a punter pronunciation in this radio show.
Well, their punter is from Australia. First name Hudson, last name K-A-A-K. So I want you to pronounce that for me, okay?
Oh, okay. I'm looking at it now. I don't think I should attempt to pronounce this. I'm gonna be honest.
How do you think it's said? The people need to know. They're gonna watch the game. They need to know how to say the punter's name.
I'm absolutely shocked that there isn't a pronunciation guide on his Oklahoma State bio. Hudson.
Try to pronounce it in an Australian accent. I said accent.
You're just trying to make me look like an idiot on the show. I feel like it's not fair.
How does it down under?
I'm sorry. I'm not gonna do that.
That's so embarrassing.
I'm not gonna do it. I can't do it in an Australian accent.
Let's move on to the Arkansas depth chart. So not a ton of things changed this week for the Razorbacks for the depth chart. So let's talk about I'm trying to pull it up here. I do know Rashad DeBinion moved down to fourth string running back. So first week he was listed or as the starter with Jaquindon Jackson or Rashad DeBinion. Now he's down there with Tyrell Reed Jr. I think that has more to do with DeBinion just really probably still struggling with the knee injury than it does with just him from a talent perspective, because we know Rashad DeBinion's good. But I did like, I mean, Jaquinnen Jackson, for sure, your starter. He looked great. And we said that all offseason, right? There were a lot of people who were like, man, this Jackson kid's really good. Well, we've been telling you that. So he is very good, Jaquinnen Jackson. Go ahead.
Shout out to Rodney Hill, by the way. I mean, whenever they picked him up out of the transfer portal, I wasn't really expecting a whole lot. I mean, he's never torn up, you know, the field in his time. When he was at Florida State, he had some good plays and did fairly well in his role, but I wasn't expecting him to be the second team guy on this team. Not coming into Oklahoma State, I was thinking more third string, maybe fourth string. And I think, you know, like you said, it'll change with Rashad DeBinion when he gets healthy, but clearly they have a role for him, and they have a role for every running back. He scored a touchdown against UAPB, and apparently he's the guy that catches passes out of the backfield. So yeah, just shout out to Rodney Hill. I want to give a shout out to him.
Yep. Braylon Russell also got in with a touchdown against UAPB. We know, you know, just the size and the unit that he is as a freshman out of Benton. So that's the running back position. What else here changed? Did anything else change?
At tight end, I want to say Varquese Gums and Ty Washington switched between the 2 and 3. Not a big change, but something notable.
That happened. Let's see. Patrick Coon is still listed as a starter. He's not going to play. Well, I shouldn't say that. He was listed by Sam Pittman as probably doubtful, which I was a little surprised to hear because, you know, I had been talking to some people and I heard this from someone else too. Word was that like Kudus had it, or at least I don't know how to say this. Maybe it was like Kudus wanted to play this weekend. And I don't know that for sure, but I feel like there might have been more of a chance for him to play this weekend than people thought, and maybe they're just being super cautious with him because it's a back injury. It's something he's dealt with in the past. You don't want to mess around with that stuff, especially an offensive lineman. So, defense, nothing crazy. Still got the or between Singletary, Robinson, and Stewart at corner. TJ Metcalf and Hudson Clark still have an or. What was interesting was
it'll be fun to see if I can predict which of Hudson Clark or TJ Metcalf will start coming into that game. I actually accurately predicted TJ Metcalf to start, but you know that scoop, even though it wasn't really much of a scoop, I kind of got lucky. It was ripped away from me.
Oh, it was not ripped away from you, dude. That was, you got to be cautious, Riley. Okay, long story short, here's what happened. We were watching pregame warmups against UAPB. TJ Metcalf lines up as the first team safety. I say that out loud. Riley tweets it out, and I'm like, okay, well, that was just during the walkthrough pregame. There's a chance that TJ Metcalf does not start when they come out for the first play. I just wanted to save you because if you write that, if you tweet out TJ Metcalf is the starting safety, and then Hudson Clark goes out there, if it's anybody other than Hudson Clark, probably not that big of a deal. But if Hudson Clark goes out there and is starting, you're going to get burned.
It wouldn't look good for me.
Exactly. So, and also Hudson Clark, how about him playing a bunch of nickel? Like, that didn't happen at all in fall camp. So that was something that I guess they were either hiding from us or they just saw it, you know, after the first drive and they're like, we can put Hudson in the nickel and we'll have success. So, I don't know. Anything else? Oh, I guess we got to talk about the long snapper. We got to do that. So, Eli Stein, no longer with the team. We know Ashton Noe, the former Hutchinson Community College transfer, is the starting long snapper. Riley, I just hope there's more to the story than what Sam Pittman told us on Monday about Eli Stein, which was he literally saw the depth chart, didn't like the fact that he didn't have both long snapper spots, and he decided to leave the team.
Yeah, again, my pick to click in the preseason in the special teams department. And again, he was on, you know, so many watch lists and things like that. I just don't see, you know, I'm not him. I don't understand his situation and what he's going through. But, you know, it's game week. You've gone through all of fall camp. You put in all that hard work and you lose. It was only one of the spots, right? Didn't Pittman say that he would still maybe play another spot?
He was either the long snapper for punting or the short snapper for place kicking. I really can't remember. It's not a big deal, but you should have made
all of fall camp and then just quit the week of. Like, there's got to be something else, I would think. But
that's what I'm thinking, dude. It should have been your pick to quit That should have been what it is. Eli Stein. Yeah,
you're right.
That's tough though. So let's move on from the long snapper. And what else we got here? So that was depth chart. Let's talk about captains real quick, and then I want to talk about some of these numbers about Oklahoma State. So captains were announced on Wednesday on Sam Pittman Live, which is his weekly radio show, 7 p.m. Catfish Hole in Fayetteville on Wednesdays. That should be when they try to announce captains each week. It's not going to be just four captains for the whole season, folks, or however many they wanted to do. They're going to try to do four different captains each game in case you missed it. So, for the Oklahoma State game, it's going to be Luke Haz, the Oklahoma native out of Bixby, Joshua Braun, the starting right guard, Xavier Sorey Jr., linebacker, and safety Jaden Johnson. Those are your four captains. In case you're curious, last week, Nico Davier, Eric Gregory, Isaiah Cetania, and Emarion Harris were the captains. So.
Yeah, so this kind of answered a question I had, which was how much was Pittman going to kind of go towards how close you were to where you grew up and where you were playing over, you know, how much of a leader you are? And I think, you know, you would expect him to kind of lead more towards you're a leader of the team, right? But I think a guy like Bryce Stevens, right, he was a native of Oklahoma City. And I thought maybe he could get a nod there.
Yeah. But with Bryce Stevens, man, and I hate to say it, he's just not going to play. If Bryce Stevens plays in this game, somebody got hurt. So,
you know, he almost returned a punt for a touchdown. That should, I mean,
who,
I say again, almost. Again? It was called back for a flag, and he face planted on that play.
Oh, yeah. You want to know what? The last time Arkansas played UAPB, a number 14 also returned a punt for a touchdown, and that actually stood. His name was Nathan Perotti. If Nathan Perotti could return a punt for a touchdown against UAPB, I might be able to return a punt.
Shout out to Nathan Perotti. I was not expecting a plug for him.
That's not true. I definitely could not have returned a punt against UAPB. I run like a 5.440. But Stevens either.
Are we going to talk about Jaden Wilson, the Jaden Wilson Chronicles this week? Or it's kind of an interesting situation. But
yeah, I don't think we should talk about that until something comes of it. We'll see if he's there on Saturday.
He was listed on the depth chart.
Yeah.
So,
if for those who are curious, he changed his Twitter profile, took Arkansas out of it, tweeted a new profile picture from him in his DeSoto high school uniform, like literally while they were still at War Memorial Stadium.
Yeah.
I don't. No.
There's only so many things you can take away from that, but he was listed on the depth chart. So.
Those are the things that, like, when people think about sports media, they're not thinking about that part of the job where it's 2 a.m. and somebody alerts me that Jaden Wilson has changed his Twitter profile.
Right. Yeah. You're getting into the nitty gritty at that point.
After they beat UAPB 70-0.
Yeah. Yeah. Not on the bingo card.
Okay. All right. We talked about the captains. Let's get into some of these numbers. Some of these numbers, Riley. I sent them to you. Oklahoma State tied for the second most wins in college football since 2020. They have 24 of those bad boys. Only Alabama has more. They have 26. All right. That is one. Oklahoma State has won the most one possession games in college football since 2015. This is a big one. They're 34-16 in one possession games over that span. Next up is Northern Illinois, who is 30-31. So, there's two things about this stat. One, they're playing in a lot of one-possession games, so the games are close. But also, they are winning a majority of them. They're 34-16 in one-possession games since 2015. We talked about, I think they had 6 of them last year. So you just have a feeling that if it's a one-possession game, that's a stat to keep in the back of the mind.
And you combine that with the fact that Oklahoma State this year ranks 4th nationally with 34 seniors. So not only are they good and have proven to be good in one score games, they're older and they've been there and they've done that. So, and you're going into an environment at Boone Pickens Stadium that is going to be pretty hostile with those tight, you know, self-proclaimed tightest sidelines in all of college football.
Yeah, it's so tight, dude. Let's see. What they won 9 Of their last 11 games, they're 11-0 in the last 11 games when winning or tying the turnover battle. Mike Gundy, 57-14 overall record in September games. Not bad. Not bad. Normally you're playing cupcakes then, though.
Oklahoma State also has a strong historical winning mark in non-conference play. They are 49-11 in their last 60 non-conference games. And they also have a 96-24 overall record versus opponents outside of the AP top 25 since 2010. So, I mean, you know, a lot of those, like you said, a lot of those games are probably against cupcake teams. But, I mean, still, that's a pretty impressive record. And you know, we'll see if that continues this week.
Yep. All right, I've got a couple more here. The Cowboys have held their opponent to less than a 50% third down conversion rate in 48 of their past 53 games. So you're saying in their past 53 games, only 5 of those games has their opponent converted on more than 50% of their third downs. That's pretty darn good. Oklahoma State has held its opponent scoreless on its game opening drive in 41 of the past 59 games. So keep that in mind if you're a degenerate gambler and you want to bet on Arkansas to score on the first drive. Here's another one. This is probably going to be my last one, Riley. The Cowboys are tied with Utah for the most full-time position coaches entering the 10th or more season at the same school in the FBS. They've got 5 of those. So a lot of experience, not only on the roster, but on the coach, a lot of consistency, or on the coaching staff, just a lot of consistency at Oklahoma State, man. Mike Gundy has a program that just keeps going, man.
It kind of sounds like Arkansas shouldn't win this game. Come. You hear all these stats, and you're like, man, this is not looking good. But I want to throw it back, and this means absolutely nothing for this game, right?
Because wait, you're gonna throw it back for us?
I'm gonna throw it back in terms of history. Here, I'm gonna throw it back. 8 years ago, ish, 2016. An Arkansas team that was 1-0, led by Brett Bielema. They had a new quarterback. I say new quarterback. He was a new starter. Austin Allen went into a TCU team that was ranked 15th at the time, was on a, I want to say, 14-game home winning streak. All the odds were stacked against them. Nobody thought Arkansas would win. And they went in there and defeated the Horned Frogs 41-38 in overtime. That's also a Big 12 team, right? So you're thinking 8 years later, can Arkansas kind of replicate that magic? We'll see. A lot, again, stacked against them. But you never know. There's a lot of unknowns. Bobby Petrino, you say all those stats about, you know, Oklahoma State preventing teams from converting third downs. And there's something about, you know, the first drive thing. What is the saying? An immovable, or a force against an immovable object? What is it?
The unstoppable force versus the immovable object.
Right, so the unstoppable force being Bobby Petrino, a movable object being Oklahoma State's history in playing defense, I guess. We'll see how it plays out. I don't know. I'm lacking Bobby Petrino in this one.
Yeah, man, it's tough, man. You go into games like this, and we just look at it. We obviously have a little bit of rose-colored glasses on, and it's not on purpose. It's just because we cover Arkansas, and so we obviously are going to look at it from an Arkansas perspective. But I got to say, in the offseason, I felt way worse about this game than I feel about it now, which doesn't make me feel better, but I feel more confident, dude. Just I think that everything we needed to see against UAPB, it's tough because you want to take it with a grain of salt because of the opponent, but I mean, 10 touchdowns on 10 drives. Defense doesn't give up any points. I said, what they have to do? They had to dominate in the trenches. I thought they did that. So let's talk about injury report, though. This is important. We talked about Kudus, probably doubtful. So you'll probably see Marion Harris at left guard again. I'm okay with that. Andrew Armstrong, he tweeted out some sort of anime thing.
That was Avatar the Last Airbender. I'm disappointed that you didn't get that reference, but
I'm sorry.
Grew up on that show.
What did it mean, Riley?
I'm not going to go into the lore of the show, but it basically just means he's waiting to be awoken, waiting to break out.
So he tweeted that on Sunday or Monday, I think. And Sam Pittman told us on Monday that Armstrong was still questionable. I just figured he would be like, yeah, he's ready to go. Social team tweeted out on Wednesday multiple pictures of Andrew Armstrong on the sidelines at practice, full uniform, no green jersey, and then also one picture on Instagram where he's with the first team offense. So
a little bit of a wink, wink there.
I feel good about Arkansas's leading receiver from a year ago being able to play in this one after he missed the opener. That'll be good. You want Andrew Armstrong. He's good, man. He's the best receiver they have. He is. He runs 22 miles an hour, really physical. He's 6'4", great route runner, and led a bad team in receiving last year. So that's what we got for the injury report, really. I mean, Miguel Mitchell, the safety, he's probably out. We don't know why. I have not been able to uncover why yet. So, but I mean, that's a guy who started games at Florida last year now. How good is
Florida's not great,
but you know, starting in the SEC is nothing to you know, shrug
scoff at.
Yeah, scoff at. That's what I was thinking about. So, there's your injury report. Rashad DeBinion probably still dealing with the knee. Don't know how much we'll see him. Am I missing anybody? I don't think I'm. Aside from guys who are out for the year, but you know, we don't have to talk about that. I will be curious to see who travels. Obviously, they got to have. The travel roster was different for the game in Little Rock because it's technically a home game. I think they took 92 players. They're going to have to trim it down. We'll see what that looks like this week. All right, let's get into our picks, Riley. Do you have anything else? Anything else? Let me run through the news cycle for the week, make sure I'm not missing anything crazy. Mike Gundy didn't really say anything crazy. I think we're good, man.
No, I think we've pretty much covered it.
Yeah. All right, let's get into our picks brought to you by Bet Saracen. Shout out to Bet Saracen, the mobile sports gambling app for the Saracen Casino Resort. We have been partnered with them for a while now. Very thankful for their partnership. I always enjoy the Bet Saracen app because they're really intentional with the people of the state of Arkansas, right? If you're in the state of Arkansas, you're getting a lot of cool stuff through Bet Saracen, a lot of Arkansas-specific bets. So make sure you're downloading the app, you're checking them out daily because they're adding new stuff. The specials tab is where you need to go if you want to look at all these cool bets. But also, if you just go straight to the game for Arkansas-Oklahoma State, which the Cowboys are 7.5-point favorites, you can also click on that. And usually you can get player props. I'm not seeing any up right now. I would expect maybe some more closer to the game, but usually you can get player props. But let's talk about some of these specials. You were saying before we started recording, Riley, that you didn't like a lot of these.
So I was actually talking about the double R props.
Oh, the double R props. Well, that's those are,
which are the player props.
Those are specials. That's what I mean.
Okay.
It's under the special tab.
So looking at this list, I'm not in love with anything personally. You know, you look at it, you know, Taylen Green had a great game last week against UAPB, but Oklahoma State's going to be a lot better. The secondary, can he take advantage of that? I don't know. His line for this, total yards passing over 249.5 and total yards rushing over 55.5 at plus 400. Maybe if you want to bank on Taylen Green just having a breakthrough national performance, you know, if he does that, Arkansas is going to be right in this thing. So if you're just feeling homerish, maybe you throw a little bit on that. But personally, not a whole lot here from me. If I'm looking at a pick that I would feel good about, it would actually be let me find it here. If you actually click on the game and go into the details for the game, here it is. The Arkansas Razorback team total in points over 26.5. It's at minus 115, so the juice is a little bit high. But I'm just thinking, man, this is Bob Petrino. You've had all offseason to come into this game. You know he's probably this game means something to him. UAPB is UAPB, whatever. Everyone knew they were going to win that game. But this is the one where he can come out and prove and show that he is back coaching this Razorback offense. I just don't see any way that Arkansas doesn't score. I'm thinking 30. I mean, I think they'll get 30, honestly. I'm not that impressed with – I mean, Oklahoma State has a good defense, but it's a Big 12 defense at the end of the day. So if I'm a fan, I'm taking over 26.5 for Arkansas total.
Yeah, that's not bad, man. You know, I look at these player props, these double R props. I like one, it's Lucas receiving yards over 49.5 and over 4.5 total receptions. Because you talk about your security blanket. If you're Taylen Green, it has to be Lucas, and he's going to need
especially in this game.
Yeah, he's going to need his security blanket in this game. That, you know, I like that one. I look here, maybe Rodney Hill over 24 and a half rushing yards and also a rushing touchdown. That's plus 200. I don't love the touchdown aspect of it, but I mean, he's got to get 25 rushing yards, right? Unless Jaquinin Jackson truly is a bell cow workhorse running back.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I've been the Breland Russell homer all offseason. And personally, I wouldn't take this one, but total rushing yards over 29 and a half and to get a rushing touchdown at plus 350. Again, I don't know if I would he's listed third string, but every running back kind of has a role. He could be that goal line guy, right? He's so big, he's strong. Maybe hand it off to him to get a goal line touchdown. The 29 and a half, I'm actually a little bit more confident. I don't know which one I'm more confident about, the rushing or the total touchdowns. Either way, Breland Russell homer, I had to give him a shout out.
For Breland Russell, I feel like I'd feel much better about him getting a touchdown than the 30 rushing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
So yeah, a lot of good picks over there. You know, I saw a tweet earlier this week. There's a guy out there who claims he's going to start tracking picks for Arkansas radio hosts all year long because they give out their picks. They're sponsored, you know, similar to the way we are. We need to start tracking our picks. I don't remember exactly what we had last week. I know I took the Satania prop. That did not hit, tragically. There was another one that I took. What was it? Oh, first half over like 30-something points for Arkansas team total.
Arkansas to cover. I want to say it was like 28.5.
Yeah, well, that was easy. Or
something. That was easy, yeah.
And shout out to all the people, including Riley, who took the whatever bet was up for like 30 seconds. And I think you got it on a different sports book. Of UAPB over half a point. Was that what it was, or was it over?
It was over 2.5. Okay. So basically to get at least a field goal. And I think the odds were – there were plus odds, like plus 100, plus 105, something like that. And, I mean, you see that. That is such a, you know, I'm going to get you, reel you in type of a play. But you can't not attempt it.
Oh, I didn't attempt it. And sure enough, who was right, Riley?
Huh? Yeah, no, I mean that one hurt my pocket.
Yeah,
a little bit. Whatever.
One thing I did want to talk about. So if you're watching here on the beautiful YouTube, shout out all 11 of you. I'm wearing my Kansas City Chiefs shirt. The Chiefs play tonight. Riley would not agree offline to do a friendly wager because he loves to talk trash about the Chiefs, folks. He loves to talk all that trash, and then when it comes to putting his money or whatever it is where his mouth is, he's like, well, I'm tired of betting against Mahomes because he always beats me.
I'm open to a punishment. It just depends on what the punishment is because I am tired of betting against the Chiefs. They beat my 49ers too many times now. I'm done.
Yeah. Maybe run a marathon. That could be the punishment. And you feel good about the Ravens tonight?
No, I do not feel that good about the Ravens. I don't.
Okay. Maybe we'll figure something out. But we do need to start doing something fun like that moving forward. And also, I want to start tracking our picks so we can see how smart we are. So let's do two official picks for this weekend so we can do that. So I will take the Lucas one over 49.5 receiving yards, over 4.5 total receptions. And I'll take this one. We haven't mentioned this one yet. Jordan Anthony, total receiving yards, over 39.5. And over 3.5 total receptions. Those are my two picks. Jordan Anthony, Lucas.
Am I allowed to take the Arkansas team total in points?
Yes, no. I mean, you can take another game if you want. I just haven't, you know, studied a ton.
I have not studied the weekend slate just yet. So yeah, I'm gonna smash that Arkansas team total over. I think it's set at 26.5 right now. And then just to be, you know, I don't want to just take easy lines like that. To take a player prop, oh, man, looking through this, oh, this is so tough. I'm going to go – here we go. I have a great one. Because, as we all know, listeners of this show, every week they tune in. What do we know? We know Mason Choate is a Tyrone Broden hater. So I'm going to take his total receiving yards over 34.5 and over 6.5 total targets. Do I actually think that will hit? I don't know. But I just know that I'm going to fade Mason because I know in his head he doesn't think that's going to hit. So
you got to stop with that, dude. I have people who actually reach out to me calling me a Tyrone Broden hater. It's freaking annoying. Because I don't hate Tyrone Broden. I mean, he could. I think he'll hit this receiving yards for sure. But seven targets is a lot. I don't know if any pass catcher for Arkansas will get seven targets in this game.
We'll find out.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's before we wrap up here on Hogbeat Radio, let's talk a little bit about baseball. So we talked with Dave Van Horn earlier in the week. Most of this stuff is reserved for the Diamond Hogs podcast. Shout out the Diamond Hogs podcast hosted by Mason Choate and Robert Stewart. Incredible podcast. The best Arkansas Razorback podcast. The premier Arkansas Razorback podcast. We were ahead of the curve. You know about all the Arkansas baseball podcasts now, but we've been this will be our fifth season. So let me know how many of the other ones are doing it for five seasons. Anyways, I'm so excited, dude, to get out there on Friday. This transfer class is loaded. I'm excited. What I am worried about, though, Riley, and this is some insider info that you're not going to get anywhere else. I'm almost positive Gage Wood is going to start on Friday, and so that would tell me that they'll probably start like Gabe Gackle, another righty on the other side. I really wanted to watch Zach Root and Landon, whatever we'll call him, Landon, the transfer from Ohio State. Those are the two lefty transfers, the two guys who are probably going to be starters, two like top 10 transfer pitchers. I think they're going to throw on Saturday morning when we're going to be driving to Stillwater.
Which that's sucks. Tough.
Yeah,
it's tough because those two lefties are going to be mainstays in the rotation, and I think the coaching staff is expecting a lot out of them.
Yeah, but you know, they got so many position players. They have 51 total players on the roster. They got to cut it down to 40. I'm excited to see how the outfield shakes out. We know that they got Diggs back, Vaheva Aloy's back, Nolan Sousa's back, Ryder Helfrich is back. I mean, this team, we do this every year, so we need to calm down, folks. Calm down. Subscribe to hogbeat.com, though. I will be out there on Friday, and I will be providing updates on our message board. People always ask me on Twitter, like I'll post like I'm there, and then people are like, what's the score? Well, I'm sorry. Like, I'm here. Please just help me out. This is my job. This is how I make my money. Like, I'm not trying to give everything out for free. I will say, though, usually when people ask questions in my mentions and it looks like I don't respond, I respond via DM just because, like, I'm weird like that. It's like with group chats. Here's my rant on group chats. I hate group chats. Group chats are the worst thing in the world. We do these group chats for our transcripts for media, and like everybody has a part, and then you tell the person who is what, before you or after you? The person who's before you, where you pick up. And people will just send in the group chat. There's like 11 people in the group chat, and it's like, Riley, I'm picking up here. Text Riley. I don't care where you're picking up. I leave like over half of the group chats that we get put in for transcripts. I hate group chats.
Yeah, I noticed you left the one yesterday or a couple of days ago.
Because they just started having a conversation. Anyways, that's group chats and self checkout. I can go all day on them. What
else? Checkout. What? No, I need to hear it. Hold on. What's your thing with self checkout?
Dude, it's just always old people who are like, I hate self checkout. Self checkout is the worst. I'm never gonna do self checkout. Well, don't do it then. Go to the other line. I'm sorry.
Self checkout is awesome.
Self-checkout it's awesome unless you're doing like your weekly grocery shopping and you do have a ton of groceries, and then you're like, oh my gosh, dude, I should get like tip for this.
It's overbearing at that point.
Anyways, more baseball news though. Arkansas expected to host Oklahoma State for fall baseball exhibitions this fall. Two of them, October 11th, October 12th, should be fun. Sounds like that's going to be in place of the fall classic that they always do, which I'm cool with. Because the Fall Classic it's always weird.
And it's Oklahoma State, too. There's some recent history, fun history there. So,
and shout out hogbeat.com. If you're on hogbeat.com, you knew that they were playing Oklahoma State before it was announced. Just saying. All right. And they also officially announced the dates and times for the College Baseball Classic, which is going to be in February again. So, Riley, do you have that pulled up? I'm trying to pull
it up. I do not, but I will say while you're pulling it up, speaking of recent history, I mean, you're playing Kansas State and TCU, both the two teams that have eliminated you in your home regional the last 2 years, and you played Michigan last year too. So some recent history there. That's going to be a fun weekend in Arlington.
So Friday, February 21st, Kansas State and Arkansas at 7 p.m. So the team that won the Fayetteville Regional last year. And then Saturday at 6 p.m., Arkansas TCU, the team that won the Fayetteville Regional in 23. I said last year for Kansas State. That was actually this year. And then Sunday, the Michigan game at 11, like you said. So
I was going to say, if you are a diehard Hogbeat subscriber and kept up with me during baseball portal season, there's actually a portal player that was committed to Arkansas that I guess decommitted and then signed with Kansas State, shortstop Maximus Martin. Initially played at Georgia State. So, you know, there's already a storyline there, but if you just wanted to add one extra, there you go.
Revenge game for Maximus Martin.
Yep.
All right. Anything basketball related, Riley, that happened this week? Oh, John Rothstein tweeted out that Arkansas is going to play Kansas in a scrimmage. We knew that. John Calipari said it in July.
Did we know the same thing happened with home away?
I didn't know that. Did Rothstein say that?
I believe he said something about it being played in Fayetteville. I could be wrong. That's what I thought I read.
I think we knew that it was going to be at Bud Walton.
Okay. Well, I mean, hey, that's big because you already have so many non-conference games that are either neutral site, on the road, or whatever. And then there was another preseason exhibition, right? They're going to play somebody?
Was it TCU in Dallas?
Maybe it was TCU. That's what it was.
TCU in Dallas. I don't know if they've announced anything official on that yet.
They haven't. It's good to get a big, kind of like Purdue last year, get a big preseason game in Bud Walton.
And they have to be charity too. So that's always good. So that'll be fun to see. All right, Riley, anything else to add, man? I think we kind of whipped it up, man. Good stuff.
Should we just, to end it off, give a score prediction for Oklahoma State, or are we going to save that?
Man, I haven't even thought about mine yet.
I've thought about it a little bit.
Okay, so you can give yours.
So, kind of like I said earlier, I just don't see any way Arkansas doesn't score at least 30 in this game. Now, that could just be – that's probably Bobby Petrino Kool-Aid I'm drinking right there. And I think if knowing Travis Williams' defense – you know, I mean, you look back at last year and when they played SEC teams on the road in those one score games, a lot of the times Arkansas's defense held the SEC teams under 30, right? And those are good, talented SEC teams. So I think for Arkansas to win this game, it would be maybe Arkansas 31, Oklahoma State 27 type situation. But I'm going to be smart. I'm going to be unbiased and go into this game with a clear mind. And I'm going to say Oklahoma State pulls it out. They win. Late, I'm gonna say 37 to 30, Oklahoma State.
All right,
there you go.
Wait, hold on. Did you pick Oklahoma State to win?
Yes.
Okay. Man, Riley,
Arkansas fans now hate me. You hate the Razorbacks.
Wow.
But if I were going to pick Arkansas to win, I would say Arkansas 31, Oklahoma State 27. So I'll put that out there.
So what is your prediction? Can you just like
Oklahoma State to win? Oklahoma State to win is my prediction. Final.
All right. I'll give my prediction on hogbeat.com on Friday morning. So make sure you check it out. Shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs playing tonight, opening the NFL season. I'm super excited. Shout out to the Conway Wampuscats. If you're watching on YouTube, I got the Conway Wampuscats hat on. It's the old logo that they can no longer use because the University of Cincinnati is soft. And yeah,
no shout out to UCA though,
dude. We got UCA got screwed.
Didn't talk about that.
UCA got screwed. But it's not Arkansas State's fault. It's the ref's fault. But UCA got screwed. If you didn't see it, just look up UCA Arkansas State. You will figure out what happened,
dude. I mean, the refs always find a way to screw Arkansas, and so you have an Arkansas team playing an Arkansas team. Like you knew something was going to happen.
There you go. It sounds like Arkansas State might be the darlings of the Sun Belt this year, and somebody might have called in a favor. That review took forever. So I don't know, man. I'm not saying anything, nor do I really know what happened. UCA lost the game. They shouldn't have. Also, speaking of Conway, though, Grayson Wilson at Jonesboro last week, the was a 4-star commitment, now a 3-star on Rivals. I have not gotten an answer on that, by the way. Quit asking me. It's not my fault. but 4 touchdowns in the first half looked incredible. A lot of people don't realize how athletic this kid is. He can run, man. He's an athlete. He plays basketball. So Grayson Wilson and the Conway Wabascats, I think they got Bentonville this weekend. So should be fun.
I'll give a shout out to my hometown, Lavaca, because no one else will, even though they're awful. And they lost 8-0 to one of the worst teams on their schedule in their season opener. Shout out to the Lavaca Golden Arrows.
Who was the worst team on their schedule? Do you even know?
I don't know. That's how bad they are. I have no idea. They lost 8-0.
All right. One thing that we are doing on Hogbeat this year, just before we wrap this up, we do have a thread, weekly high school football. I love high school football, so I'm going to try my best every week to at least be streaming, you know, a few games, provide some live updates for it. So if you like that, last week I was doing Fayetteville Cabot, Shiloh Farmington, and Conway Jonesboro. So those are some fun games. Probably going to change it up. Oh, Greenwood. I was doing Greenwood and Bentonville West as well. So a lot of fun teams in Arkansas high school football this year, and we're covering it on hogbeat.com. So make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you check it out. We'll have all our game coverage for Arkansas, Oklahoma State there, press conferences, post-game stories, live updates during the game. We're going to be there on site. So anything you need to know, we'll have it there. Follow us on Twitter as well. I'm at Choate Mason, Choate, and Riley is Riley McFerrin, RileyMcFerrin. There we go. All right. Sounds good. I think we did it, man. What a good show. Riley's going to run a marathon when the Chiefs beat the Ravens tonight. Super excited about it. We'll live stream it. We'll take a video. So, all right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Hogbeat Radio. We really appreciate you. Tell your friends. Leave us a like. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our website. And we'll talk to everybody next Thursday on Hogbeat Radio. Oh, my gosh. I'm not even going to end it yet. I'm going to let that mower go.